Well, good evening. I trust that the Lord will be with us as we gather together in prayer. This is the second time that we've met in this way. We're on the last day of March 2020. May God be with us as we join together in prayer. But first of all, I'd like to bring you a meditation from God's Word. We're going to be considering some very encouraging truths from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. But before we do that, I just want to remind you of last week's message. We saw a man, the psalmist, under great pressure, discouraged. His spirit was so low within him. Psalm 42. And we considered four remedies that the psalmist gave us for depression of spirit. When you're going through spiritual depression, you need to take yourself in hand. That's the first thing that the psalmist does. He's panting after God, longing after God, and then he takes himself in hand. He begins to speak to himself. He begins to not let his emotions control him and dominate him. He says to himself, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God." And then secondly, having taken himself in hand and spoken to himself, he pours out his heart to God and he tells God everything. Not only do you need to talk to yourself, but you must cry out to God. "Oh, my soul is cast down within me." That's what he says to the Lord. He tells him everything. And then thirdly, he remembers past blessings. He remembers the time when he used to go up with the people of God, with a joyful multitude, to the house of the Lord. And that strengthens his faith. He remembers God himself. He thinks not upon his negative, awful situation where he's receiving mockery, the insults of vile persons, where he's isolated from God's people. No, he lifts up his heart and his mind to the Lord and he remembers him. So what does he do? First of all, he takes himself in hand. Secondly, he cries out to God. Thirdly, he remembers God and all the past blessings, all the joyful times that he spent with the Lord, all those times of sweet fellowship. And then fourthly, he resolves to hope in God. Well, this evening we're looking at Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And the subject is this: joy in the midst of trial. We're going to spend some time thinking of the awful trial that Habakkuk the prophet found himself in. And then we're going to end on a joyful note, the triumph of his faith. We're going to see him going from fear to faith, from worry to worship, from gloom to joy. But let's read these last three verses of the book of Habakkuk to encourage our souls. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labour of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills." And this is to the chief musician with stringed instruments. You see, though he had a deep burden, this prophet, and though he's in the midst of terrible trials, in the midst of them, he was able to compose this little hymn of praise, a triumphant declaration of faith as he is facing impending doom and darkness. Well, what was his dilemma? Habakkuk's dilemma was this: the people of God were backslidden to such an extent that there was violence, murder, depravity on every hand. We read in chapter 1, verse 3, the second half of verse 3, these words: "For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention. Contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds." That was his grave dilemma. There was no justice. There was lawlessness in the land. Judah, God's people, were at a low point in their history. Awful idolatry. They themselves were sacrificing their children to foreign gods. Blood was flowing in the streets. And there was no one to stand for righteousness. Those who were the Lord's people, the remnant, were being persecuted by the ungodly. Now, verse 1 tells us this. It's the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. He not only had this burden laid upon his heart in the present state, but God was going to give him a burden as to what would come, impending judgment. And he embraced that. Habakkuk's name means embracing. And though he struggled with the thought of God's judgment, he embraced it and he came to a point of settled rest in his soul and joyful faith in the Lord. And we're going to see how that happens in this little study this afternoon. Well, the first concern of this man who's in this great dilemma is this. God appears not to be speaking. God appears to be silent. He's crying out to God with all of his heart, and as if the Lord is not listening. Verse 2 of chapter 1, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. This man Habakkuk cries out, Lord, can you not see the violence, the wickedness? I'm shouting to you, Lord. Why are you not hearing? He's saying, Lord, why aren't you intervening? Of course the Lord hears, but why isn't he intervening? Why is he not acting? I wonder if you've ever been in that situation. Your situation is absolutely desperate. You're crying out to the Lord, and as if the Lord is not hearing your prayers. It's a terrible situation to be in, whether it's a family situation you're crying out to the Lord about, whether it's you're in a situation of where coronavirus has overtaken the community. We think of people in Italy. We think of people in the north, and so many have lost their loved ones. People maybe are crying out to God and not wondering why he's not intervening. Well, the Lord does reply. The Lord does speak. He replies in his own time, and he gives his own answer. It's so easy for us to try to determine the answer of the Lord, to try to say what the Lord ought to be saying. But the Lord will answer in the way he will. And he says this, verse 5, he says this to Habakkuk, look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. So he says, in your days, Habakkuk, I'm going to intervene. But you wouldn't believe what I'm going to do, even if I told you. It's an unusual, unprecedented way in which I'm going to act. And then what does he say? For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. So the Lord says this, though Judah may be in a desperate condition, I'm going to raise up an even more ungodly nation for my purposes of judgment. They're going to come like swift leopards, like evening wolves. They will come so swiftly like an eagle upon their prey. They will sweep through the nations. They will come upon Judah and they will execute all of my will. Now, this was not the answer that Habakkuk wanted to hear. He could not understand this. Why would God do this to his people? Why would he use the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, a people known for their great wickedness, in order to crush his own people? The Lord reminds Habakkuk that, he must bring judgment upon all evil. He will judge Judah, but he will also judge these Chaldeans. He will first use the Chaldeans as a judgment upon Judah and the nations around, and then they themselves will face the judgment of God. In chapter 2, we hear five woes. Here's just a couple of them. The woes of God's judgment for terrible sin. Chapter 2, verse 9. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. Woe to that person who's only concerned about himself. Woe to that city. Woe to that nation. Woe to those peoples who gather things to themselves in great greed and covetousness, thinking that they're safe in that way, not concerned about anybody else. Woe, woe, woe. Then he says this in verse 19 of chapter 2. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise. It shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. Woe to those who trust in idols. And then the Lord says this. Habakkuk, though you may not understand, though you may be saying this, chapter 1, verse 12, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. Though you may not understand that I am going to bring this evil nation to judge you, remember, I am upon the throne, and all the earth must keep silent before me. Chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Who are we to question the ways of the Lord? All that he does is perfect. All that he does is just. There is no unrighteousness in our God. So that's the situation that Habakkuk is facing. The wickedness of God's people, and then the promises and the warnings of impending judgment upon God's people using the wicked Babylonian Empire. Now, how does he respond to that? Well, it's wonderful how this godly man responds. He responds in prayer. He responds in waiting upon the Lord. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 with me. We read this. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. So this godly man resolves to wait upon God. And he's waiting expectantly, believing that God will answer. He's waiting also to hear the corrections of the Lord. At this time of the coronavirus, our greatest need is to pray. I found them busy days, and the temptation is for me is just to get down to working on my messages, to reply to emails. I've had people phoning me. One's phoned me from Peru. Another person's phoned me from Portugal. I've had all sorts of contact with all sorts of people. A 91-year-old lady in Tonrevel, she asked me to pray for her over the phone. A lot has been happening, and the temptation is just to carry on in your work. And this morning, after having had private prayers with my wife and some few prayers myself, I thought I must go up to the top room and seek God in prayer before I ever begin to prepare this message for you. We do need to pray. We do need to wait upon God at this time. Some of you may have seen Adrian Carey Jones's latest message that he gave last Sunday evening. It was very helpful. He reiterated the truth that this is a time to pray. He was speaking from the situation where Joshua is fighting against the Amalekites, Moses upon the hill, and Aaron and Hur holding up the hands of Moses as he holds up the rod of God. And as the rod of God is held up, so God gives victory to Joshua over the Amalekites. And the symbolism of it is this, we must hold up the hands of God's servants in prayer. We must pray to God that there might be spiritual victories happening throughout the world. Now, Adrian said this. He said, if we pray, these things will happen. Some will be protected and not get coronavirus. Do you believe that God will hear the prayer even for that? Then he said, others will get coronavirus, but will be strengthened and helped whilst they suffer from it. And then he said others who are recovering from coronavirus after this terrible illness, this terrible sickness, will have cause to stop and think and thank God. Adrian asked us, what are we doing which is different from the world? The world will pick up the telephone and give a kind call to another. The world will go to the shops on behalf of a neighbour who's shut in. The world will pick up a prescription, pick up some medicines. What are we doing more than the world? Are we seeking God in prayer? In Habakkuk's dilemma, he sought God in prayer. And look at the bigness of his prayer. Chapter 3, verse 2, he says this, O Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Lord, you frighten me. All these woes, all these warnings of judgment, this terrible, fierce nation coming against us. Lord, I accept your wrath, but in your wrath, Lord, would you come? Would you revive us? Would you have mercy upon us? Oh, Lord, come, I pray. Surely we're to pray with the intensity of this prophet, the servant of God, who had this tremendous burden given to him. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. May we use this time as a time of prayer and of seeking God. But you know, it wasn't just prayer. He moved from a position of desperation to a position of confidence. The news of that impending judgment with Nebuchadnezzar's army already on the move. It's the 7th century BC. Nebuchadnezzar, he is the governor, the imperial governor of the Empire of Babylon. And they're on the move. They're beginning to destroy nations. They're coming south towards Jerusalem. With news of this, and news of God's judgment, Habakkuk trembles. But in his fear and in his trembling, in this overwhelming situation of devastation promised, he begins to find rest for his soul. Chapter 3, verse 16, when I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest. In the day of trouble, when he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. His heart begins to accept the situation and he begins to rest in his God. And then we come to these wonderful verses at the end of this little book. Chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. They are so encouraging for us. Here we see a man who comes to exuberant, joyful faith. Look at the way in which he expresses himself here. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labour of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This man says this, even though there may not be a harvest, even though the usual produce that was produced in Judah for their economic benefit would fail, the fig, the grape, the olive, the sheep and the herds, though they were facing impending judgment from an army, an economic ruin, though they were facing crop failure, yet he would rejoice in the God of his salvation. Why? Because his Lord was the Lord of history. His Lord was working all things out according to his good will and good pleasure. He was saved and God would protect his people. God would hear his prayers. Though it might be a remnant, God would be with them and strengthen them. And so his feet, in verse 19, would be like the feet of a deer. He would know strength. He would be like a deer in those wild mountains, skipping from one rock to another. He says he will make me walk on high heels. The Lord will be with me. Now, isn't this tremendous? Paul Tripp, he gave a very helpful video, and he gave the antidote to crippling and overwhelming fears. He said this: when you wake up in the morning and you're tempted just to listen to the latest figures, how many have died of coronavirus in this nation or that nation, you're tempted to put on the news. You're tempted to just consider more and more and more of the coronavirus story. What you're doing is you're creating a heart habit of discouragement. And whilst we do not hide away from the facts, he says this: begin to create new habits in order to go from fear to faith. Begin to thank God. Rather than fearing, thank God. It's a wonderful video if you get a chance to see it. Thank God that you're a child of His. Thank God that you belong to Him. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your home. Thank God for your family. There's so many things that you can thank God for. He cares for you. Remember His mercies. Jeremiah said this at a time of devastation: through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. When everything else gives way, the Lord stands firm. We hope in Him. His mercies are new every morning. And Jeremiah, the prophet, says this also. In chapter 17, verses 7 to 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Yes, in the year of drought, yes, when the heat comes, when there's no fruitfulness, when there's no fruit on the vine, when the fig tree does not blossom, yet my soul, my heart may rejoice in the Lord. Yet I might know great fruitfulness in my inner soul. Campbell Morgan, that famous preacher, said this: our joy is proportionate to our trust, and our trust is proportionate to our knowledge of God. To know Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to triumph and excel. How much do you know God? How much do you trust God? Oh, that we would go from fear to faith and from worry to worship. And to close with, I leave you with 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, at times we are tested with fire. We are grieved. It will pass. These various trials are described as happening for a little while. They will pass. But when we go through them, the Lord is testing our faith, that we might become strong in the Lord. Do you remember James chapter 1 says that we are to rejoice when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces perseverance, and we're to let perseverance have its perfect work, that we might be complete, lacking nothing. You see, this is the time to rejoice in the Lord. This is the time to get our relationship right with the Lord. This is the time to fix all our hope and all our aspirations and all our desires in the Lord, that we would say that the Lord is my portion. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. May it be truly to the honour and the praise and the glory of God. Amen. Shall we pray? Eternal and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word from the prophet Habakkuk. Lord, we have been deeply challenged at the awful circumstances in which he was in. And yet, Lord, the way he came to such a triumphant faith in you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would so work in us that whatever worries and troubles and fears that we may have at this present time would be cast upon you. And that though we may be passing through times of tribulation, and though we may go through great grief for a little while, we pray that yet we would rejoice, knowing that you are using this time, that our faith would be strengthened, and, oh Father, that we would truly repent of our sins, and that we would come, Lord, to a deeper knowledge of you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I'd like you to join with me to sing that wonderful new song, There Is a Hope. Let's sing it together. Thank you so much for listening.